so much paralyzing terror as in this hair-raising orgy of sadness.
The mouth of the streets to tell their friends how wonderful it is to be scared to death.
Hello and welcome to episode 872 of Dread Media. I'm your host, Desmond Reddick, back with you for another great episode, and I'm going to tell you all about what we're talking about this week right after I say we're proud to be sponsored by you. And by you, I mean the small portion of you that are considered patron Dreadites. If you want to be a patron Dreadite, go to patreon.com/dreadmedia, support the show for as little as $1 a month, and you get a bunch of perks. For example, recording this on Thursday evening. Patron Dreadites are going to get it when I'm done, likely Thursday evening, rather than Monday like everybody else. There's exclusive podcasts. There's also all sorts of others. There's fiction. There's some comic book work that I have done that basically nobody has seen. Go on over there and check it out. Patreon.com/dreadmedia. I appreciate everybody who does. Bump up those numbers. We'll, you know, pass some goals here, and you know, maybe I'll serialize a novel, or I'll do a second, you know, sort of news and editorial episode of Dread Media every couple weeks for patron Dreadites alone, you know, that kind of shit. patreon.com/dreadmedia. There we go. What are we talking about this week? Well, first of all, our friend Dwayne joins me, and we discussed The Abandoned. Do you know this movie? I could be incorrect here, but it was one of, After Dark Horror Fest, 8 Films to Die For, 10 Films to Die For. So that came out, that was 2006. Yeah, that was sort of, yeah, it was, that was like first year of Dread Media, maybe. Or was that 2005? I can't remember. But, yeah, so that was very, very early on in those days. I only saw a couple of them. I don't remember seeing The Abandoned, but, this is directed by Nacho Cerda. Nacho Cerda, you say? Yes. Nacho Cerda is the director of, Unearthed Films put out a short film collection of his. The short film collection is called Aftermath Genesis. In fact, Aftermath and Genesis are the names of two films on that DVD collection. The other being, I can't remember what the hell it's called, but doesn't matter. So Nacho Cerda directed what is, you know, sort of widely considered one of the most, you know, like wildest extreme horror films from the past, I guess, 20 years or so. It involves a mortuary attendant performing an autopsy and some necrophilia. Yeah. So, he directed that. Anyway, so, I guess somehow, Unearthed Films hunted down the license to The Abandoned. I think this is his first feature film. Is that true? Yeah, I think so. Yeah, so it's a really great kind of like hardcore ghost movie. It's not necessarily like extreme horror, but it is on the extreme end of haunted movies, if you know what I mean. So, that's definitely worth checking out. So we're going to come back and talk about that. And then I'm going to come back and do a Dread Media top 5, like, you know, extreme intense ghost story, from across media. Yeah. That's what I'll do. Before we do any of that, we're going to listen to a song. I'm going to play a bunch of new songs And then a bit of a tribute later. I've never heard of this, I guess, this guy. I believe this is a one-man black metal project called Black Band Shirt. The record is called Proud Filth. And this is some really interesting music from other genres tinged with black metal, very, very similar to like Zeal and Ardor, but approaching it from a very different angle. So I'm kind of intrigued. I haven't really wrapped my head around the entire record yet, but I'll play you a song from it. It's called Proud Filth, and the song is called Lights Out, because that's when the ghosts come out. Going to start or should I?
Hi, Dwayne. You can. How about? Okay. Oh, hey. Oh, you scared me there. I was
boo.
Kind of out of sorts after getting scared.
So, oh, okay.
Yeah.
How'd you get scared?
Because the movie had a haunted house, kind of haunted barn.
Yeah, it had a haunted lot of stuff. Haunted property.
Yeah, actually, pretty much everything with haunted, I think.
Haunted property, I guess, yeah. A lot of hauntings. Everything's haunted there.
Yeah, well, I mean, you don't want people coming to your haunted place and saying, you know, yeah, it's going to have been like 20% more haunted. You're just like,
right, right.
We're going to be like as haunted as you can imagine, and then put it in Russia and make it even more haunted. And,
yeah,
yeah. So, so what's a haunted movie that we're talking about here?
We're talking about the this is okay. So let me just get this right. This movie came out in 2006 as one of the. Was it the films to die for? Is that right?
No.
Was it? Okay. No? Okay.
Nope. I know I've seen the cover before. Like the.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't. Was it that or like the Ghost House ones or the.
Yeah, maybe it was that. I can't remember. But I never saw it. Had I known it was by director Nacho Cerda, I definitely would have sought it out. Do you know who Nacho Cerda is?
I think I'm supposed to, but I don't. I'm just getting hungry every time I hear his name. Yeah. So you just cut to the chase and fill me
in. Yeah.
I think I definitely heard the name before, but I think we may have even watched something, but we'll see.
Maybe. So Nacho Cerda is very famous in extreme horror circles, being that this movie, I wouldn't necessarily call this extreme horror, would you?
No.
But it's being released by Unearthed Films because of the connection to Nacho Cerda. Now, Nacho Cerda... Sorry, my dog is going fucking nuts up there.
He wants nachos, too.
Yeah. Nacho Cerda directed some short films that... Unearthed Films released back in the day, specifically one called Aftermath, which features a morgue attendant who autopsies, mutilates, and defiles a corpse for half an hour.
Right. Well, that's what I guess you want from your other films. So,
sure,
yeah.
Sure. So it is absolutely chilling as well, that movie. It's it comes with two other short films that he directed that are also fantastic on the DVD. But yeah, so they're bringing back his 2006 film and giving it a nice Blu-ray release, and they sent us the promo link to check it out. And I guess one of us should tell you the plot of the movie a little bit. Do you want to do it or should I?
Yeah, I think I can do that.
Okay.
Basically our film opens in, I guess it'd be 1960, mid-60s, somewhere in Russia. And basically there's a kind of a family on a farm. They're all just kind of sitting there doing their, you know, kind of usual stuff. And, basically there's kind of like a big crash, noise. They go outside to investigate and they see that there's a woman who is, now dead behind the wheel of a truck. And, on the seat beside her is, two babies. Mm-hmm. So basically we just kind of like flash forward and we, meet the film producer, Marie Jones. So basically she is going to meet with a notary, I think they're called. Yeah. She goes to him in, I guess she's trying to get in touch with the roots or something. So she gets contacted with him. She's living in the United States now. She goes back to Russia. This guy tells her like where her old family farm's located. Mm-hmm. And basically she, kind of makes her way there. And meets another person there named Nikolai, who she, does not seem to know. And basically he just tells her that he also received a call from the notary and that that he is her twin brother.
Yeah.
So basically this isn't really like a spoiler because,
this is the first 15 minute stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, they are the two babies that were in the car with their truck with their mom there when she died. Yeah. And basically now that they're back at their kind of, ancestral home – Well, they realize, you know, that it's not only haunted, but very, very difficult to escape.
Yeah. Yeah. And not just haunted, but haunted by the ghostly apparitions of themselves.
Yes, exactly.
Which, yeah. Like an extra layer of terror, isn't it?
Yeah, that would be in some way, up, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I love this movie.
Yeah.
I thought it was just like it's not extreme horror, but it dances about as close to it without being it can get, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, I think it has, how do I say this? So what if someone was like into extreme horror and then you said, okay, like, can you not do something extreme horror for once? And can you make us like, I don't know, a cake or something? Like, that cake is still going to be extreme. Like, it's not going to be extremely horrible cake, but it's still going to be extreme. So meaning he's going to like turn up the,
now I want, you know, some the cake.
But now, but it's like he's like turning up the volume on other aspects. You know what I mean? Like, it feels like a kind of a heightened movie. I kind of wrote down that it feels like, I know I say this and this is not, you know, proper, but I think you understand what I mean. Is that kind of felt like a kind of a legit, like kind of not big budget movie, but a movie that was definitely accomplished and felt like it was kind of bigger than it maybe it really was, you know, like in terms of, it really feels like really well done. Like, I think there's some CGI, but it looks pretty good.
So this is like 2006, but this still like comes on the heels of a common thriller at, you know, in like late 90s, early 2000s was small haunted horror.
Yes.
One movie star.
Yeah.
You know, like everything from fucking Stir of Echoes to The Other, you know? And I think that this is sort of very much in that vein, but far more intense than any of those. Okay, well, Stir of Echoes is pretty fucking intense, but stand corrected. But it is very, a very similar, you know, I guess you could call it a Richard Matheson style haunted story, right?
Yeah, that's actually a really great.
Hell House, you know, Hell House is an extreme haunted house story, right? And I think it is similar aspects with Stir of Echoes as well. So, yeah, that's kind of the vibe this one gives off. And, yeah, I just love that it's not, you know, I think part of why it works is it's not somebody like Sydney Sweeney in the lead.
Right. Oh, God, yeah.
You know what I mean? No, I think she's great and she's clearly easy on the eyes. But you know what I mean? Like. Yeah. We don't, or, you know, I used to say, you know, the CW actor, but like that makes less and less sense to people the longer we move away from that. So
exactly.
You should probably, you know, cater to young folk once in a while. But,
The One Tree Hill references. And,
yeah. I missed all that shit. I don't really understand. I don't understand what that is, but
I don't know.
I think my stepdaughter watches it.
Yeah, it's possible.
That was weird. I caught myself saying stepdaughter. Such a weird thing to say. It's a weird thing to say. It is this sort of dark, feels like it's really happening to somebody kind of thing because it isn't Nicole Kidman. You know what I mean? There's that. Yeah, exactly. There's that too. Yeah.
And she's like a, you know, it's like a middle-aged woman who has like an adult or maybe like kind of nearly adult daughter, like maybe late teens or early, whatever.
Right.
Like, but she's like, you know, an actual adult, you know, who's done things and like kind of, and then in this case is actually going
again, bucket, you know,
right?
Like, it's a movie with an adult doing an adult thing.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah. You don't get a lot of that in this genre.
Unfortunately, no. And then we get kind of a different setting too, like, you know, she's far away from home just being in Russia, but then we got this like great old kind of farmhouse, like it just like you get a really good sense of the setting because of the fact that you spend so much time there, right? Like it's this It's on like a something they called the island, because it's basically surrounded by a river, and the only way you can get there is up a bridge. I guess there's a rowboat, and of course, unfortunately, this woman can't swim, so that's extra anxiety for her. And basically, I will say another thing that kind of really adds points to this story was, well, it's definitely, you know, a haunted house type story. And then, as we said, that they kind of see, like, almost kind of like zombie-like ghosts of themselves, like they're, you know, kind of decaying or definitely look dead. I don't want to give away too much, but it's not even really like a Carnival of Souls kind of thing, or like a Jacob's Ladder kind of thing, like where, you know what I mean? Well, not exactly. You know what I mean? Like, it's not. Sometimes, you know, there's movies that kind of have, like, the twist, and that's kind of it. But this, I think, is way more than that. Like, especially, it's a movie that really, you know, is set up certainly in the first and second act. But the third act is really good. Like, it's actually, you know, a lot of stuff happens. Yeah. There's different kinds of conflict, I guess you could say. In it.
And there's, I guess there's your art, like, the flashback stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like, that, you know, that they experience.
Yes.
You know, and they're like witnessing it happen. I mean, I suppose you could consider that extreme horror.
Yeah.
Right? He's like, he's drowning a baby, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're right. And they're trying to feed another one to pigs, right?
So, yeah. Yeah.
That's pigs, right?
Yeah, right.
It's a real not CGI, so.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess that's kind of extreme.
Yeah, it's pretty extreme. But yeah, like absolutely. Also, like, terrifying. Like, I appreciated it because it was, you know, not afraid to just like really go for it. The, you know, like when they shoot the ghosts, right? You know, know, that's not a good idea, right? Because like, why are you shooting a ghost? You know, I just dug it. I just dug it so much. I was enthralled from the jump.
Yeah. Yeah, yep, as was I. The, you know, has a great look to it, lots of, you know, surrounded by trees, lots of water, very, you know, isolated on the one hand, but also still kind of like, you know, lush and looks really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then basically the one thing I thought of kind of in that third act was the word was like doom was what I kind of thought. Where basically, you know, you think sometimes movies are going to go a certain way and you're kind of like, oh, I hope they don't, you know, just cause it's a convenient way to wrap things up or whatever. And I'm like, nope. Like, yeah, for this is just, a sense of doom.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And definitely. So yeah, you might even say a sense of dread. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Ding. So when you scroll down on IMDb past the cast and stuff, it has a more like this section. This was one of those movies, because the more like this is Unrest, Penny Dreadful, The Grave Dancers, Dark Ride, Wicked Little Things, The Hamiltons, The Broken, and then Bones, that movie with Snoop Dogg.
Right.
Yeah, and then Genesis, which is another of the short films on that Aftermath. The collection is called Aftermath Genesis. Rest Stop, Autopsy, The Abandoned. Oh, there's another one called The Abandoned, right?
Yeah.
It's even like the same. Oh, 2015. Yeah. But yeah, that Wicked Little Things, Grave Dancers, Penny Dreadful, those are all... Come on. What are they? Somebody give me what it's called. Damn. Thought someone would like bring it up in the reviews, but I want to know for sure what these things were called. These weren't the Sam Raimi ones.
Right, that was Ghost House, right? And then
So I think this one is like 10. Was it 10? 10 films to die for?
I think it was 10.
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
Yeah, because it was the right era. Yeah,
Yeah, but nothing on the Penny Dreadful. I'm like flipping through the Penny Dreadful reviews. So Penny Dreadful is one that I saw, and then I saw, I think, Grave Dancers, and I think that was it from that. Rest Stop wasn't one. That was a different production company, but came out about that time. Okay. One of the eight films to die for, After Dark Horror Fest.
Oh, okay.
After Dark Horror Fest presents eight films to die for.
Okay.
Okay. There we go. I said it. I'm going to edit most of that out for everybody's sake.
Yes.
Mostly mine. But yeah, I don't remember enjoying those movies as much as I enjoyed watching this one. Was sort of where headed with that. Because I thought this was absolutely fucking fantastic.
Yes, it was. There were a couple of points where I was kind of like, okay, this is going so well. But, I hope this doesn't happen. And it didn't. You know what I mean? Yeah, so basically just kept on kind of going and actually just kept getting better.
Yeah, exactly. So many of these movies that are kind of like impressive horror movies just kind of have like shitty last acts. And I think that's just movies in general. And, it's like endings suck. They're hard to write. They're hard to pull off. Hard to pull off a good ending. So, half the time I barely talk about endings when I'm reviewing something. But it is nice when a movie is consistently good and even gets better, right? And more amps up the scares, right? And they keep doing that. People don't do that anymore. They give you long rest periods, and then they have a cat jump out of a garbage can. Like, it's like it's just all old tricks. For movies for teenagers, right? Let's have more like theatrical horror for adults. That's what I want.
Absolutely. And certainly Nacho Cerda deserves lots of credit for this. Did you see who actually like wrote this movie? So he
wrote it with Canadian writer Kareem Hussein. He's Canadian, right?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, because I think he started in Toronto. So who was cinematographer on Possessor and Infinity Pool, one of my favorite movies of last year. As writer, again, fuck you, IMDb. As writer, Subconscious Cruelty, Ascension, The Abandoned, La Belle Bête, the Beautiful Beast, right? Coffin of Light, interesting. And he's got a segment in The Theater Bazaar. Richard Stanley, the Australian weirdo, or New Zealand weirdo. No, South African weirdo.
South African,
he's
right.
South African. Yeah,
I was
going
to say Australian, but then we're kind of still in the...
Yeah, I said Australian, and I'm like, no, he's Kiwi. Wait, no, he's not. He's South African. Yeah. So really, really weird combination of dudes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of course, Richard Stanley, Color Out of Space.
Hardware.
Yeah, Dust Devil. Famously kicked off the island of Dr. Moreau, took a bunch of acid, snuck back onto set, put a dog face mask on, and is actually in the movie incognito.
That's amazing.
Crazy, dude. Crazy fucking story. Crazy fucking story. But yeah, so he had a hand in the story of this one. Interesting. It's relentless, this movie. That's what I like about it, is it doesn't give you opportunities to doesn't give you opportunities to breathe much, right? From almost from the jump. Right. From seeing somebody on the property as she's driving in with that guy.
Yeah.
Right. Ivan. Was it Ivan? Am I being racist?
Yeah. It was something like that.
Yeah. Oh, Anatoly. Anatoly.
Anatoly. Yeah.
Yeah. So when they see like an apparition, I mean, clearly it's her. Right. But we don't know that yet. And then he basically disappears. And since then, it's a pretty steep climb in terror. And I just appreciate a sort of no holds barred haunted house thing. Cause fuck it. Like, it's not all woman in white, gothic, big staircases stuff, right? You know what I mean? Like, let's get nasty with haunted houses, man. That's like, they're right there. Let's do it. And this movie does. I appreciate it.
Yeah, exactly. That's, couldn't have said it better myself. Basically, whenever you think this might be kind of a traditional one, like a haunted house movie, then, it, you know, impresses you and proves you wrong. So that's good.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't really, know if I can say much more other than, I think definitely give it a chance. Definitely give it a chance and give it 100%. A watch rather. Yeah. And this was, It just came out on Blu-ray, right?
Yeah. Just came out on Blu-ray from, Unearthed Films. So check that out. Also, I mean, check out Tubi and shit too, actually, because a lot of Unearthed stuff pops up on Tubi. So
yeah, you just never know.
Yeah, never know. But this one is a real winner. A fantastic, legitimately scary, legitimately like grim haunted house movie. Haunted whatever, you know, haunted past movie. Maybe it's just the past that's haunted.
I don't know, guys. I think maybe just to answer that is I can quote the movie's tagline that death never runs out of time.
So, that is a good tagline.
Actually, it is, yeah.
I don't know what it means, but...
No, but it sounds... Yeah. Sounds like a good lyric or something.
Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of good lyrics, there we go. John Darnielle is a great lyricist. He's he is Mountain Goats. They're guys in the band, but you know, it's him. He wrote an album a couple years ago about the goths, like the 80s, the 70s, 80s British goths, like those actual guys. And this is one of those songs, from the album Goths. This is Mountain Goats and Abandoned Flesh. Thanks, Dwayne.
You're welcome.
Robert Smith is secure at his villa in France. Any child knows how to do the spider web dance. Susie has enough hits to keep the bills paid. Every New Year's in Los Angeles, you can still see Richard Blade. But the world forgot about Gene Loves Jezebel. Yeah, the world forgot about Gene Loves Jezebel. They charted once or twice. They were on a major label. When the singer went solo, he left money on the table. The two main guys are related. They're at war with each other. Now there's two genes loving Jezebel. One for each brother, but the world came to agree. What you see is what you get. What you get is what you see. Whether you're the March Violets or the Bolshoi, bands who had to leave the darkness for the sun. Red Lori, Yellow Lori, we're on Cherry Red, I think. They've been playing clubs since 1981. To be fair to Gene Loves Jezebel, Billy Corgan brought him on stage. It was in 2011, it's on their Wikipedia page. But for the most part, however big that chorused bass may throb, you and me and all of us are gonna have to find a job, because the world will never know or understand. The suffocated splendor of the once and future goth band.
So yeah, even before I get to the top five, I wanted to mention that I watched Stir of Echoes from 99. And the only thing that movie had going wrong for it was coming out the same year as Sixth Sense. So I think it's the better film, personally. But that doesn't make it a classic either. It's but it's a solid... Richard Matheson script from his novel, solid Kevin Bacon, and the kid who plays his son, also solid. Really good movie. It's on Tubi. So it's free. There you go. Check it out. All right. Yeah, let's get to the
Dread Media Top 5.
That's right. Dread Media Top 5, sort of on the extreme side, ghost haunting stories across media. Blah. Blah. Awful. Anyway, it's going to be real casual. I'm just going to give a couple examples of a couple of my favorite things. Leg by Brian Evanson, the short story. But a guy with a haunted prosthetic leg. It's pretty wild. It's pretty wild. It's fantastic, actually. And then an all-time favorite story of mine in the horror genre, period, Pigeons from Hell by the great Robert E. Howard. So those are a couple of short stories that fit the bill. And I'm trying not to do, you know, the more obvious shit, you know? Trying to suggest stuff where you'll be like, oh, right, you know, that kind of thing. So that's sort of an example of some short stories there. We'll skip over to TV. You know, I mean, Masters of Horror is pretty well known, I guess. But I'm going to shout out the little talked about second season episode. Directed by Rob Schmidt. You know, he's the Wrong Turn guy. He directed Wrong Turn. I mean, I guess that makes you a master of horror. But I love this. I love this episode. So yeah, the trailer or the summary is, you know, when a grisly car accident put his wife into a coma, a man reluctantly pulls the plug, only to realize her spirit has turned vengeful against the living. Yeah, it's pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome. It's also kind of like sexy and lurid and stuff like that. Good stuff. Good vibes. Starring Julia Benson and Martin Donovan as her husband, who's trying to pull the plug. That's good shit. Masters of Horror. Oh, let me look that up. Season 2, Episode 9, Right to Die. We'll swing over to comics now, and I'm going to shout out a little known comic. I think I may have mentioned it on the podcast when it was coming out. That's a long time ago. And if you were to ask me when Infidel came out, you know, I'd probably say 2018. Holy shit. I thought it was longer. I thought it was going to be like 2012. My concept of time is so fucked up. Oh my God. Yeah. So Infidel was an Image comic series with a sort of a interesting, cool take on the subgenre. Imagecomics.com has this synopsis. I'll read that out to you. A haunted house story for the 21st century. Infidel follows an American Muslim woman and her multiracial neighbors who move into a building haunted by entities that feed off xenophobia. Best-selling editor, Pornsak Pichetchote, that's a hard name to say, who wrote Swamp Thing, makes his comics writing editor of Swamp Thing, I'm sorry, makes his comics writing debut, I'm like, he's a writer, alongside artist extraordinaire Aaron Campbell, great art, he worked on The Shadow over at Dynamite, award-winning colorist and editor Jose Villarubia, that's, they had a really big thing there, that guy's from Promethea, lettered by Jeff Powell. This is just really awesome, like, you know, of course, there's these old people that sort of give, I think, what is it? Is it like, did their apartment building burn down or something and they got moved into this other building? I can't remember because there were other families, but this really stirred up the old white folks in the building who really just start getting like super racist and shit starts going fucking nuts. It's a really, interesting take on the subgenre. As I said at the very beginning. Really good. I got to reread it. I think I've got the singles around here somewhere. It's also available in a collected edition and probably I got off the page. No, never mind. Yeah, it's probably available digitally. Probably, right? Anyway, that's a great comic book you should check out. Down to number 2. Number 2 is a novel. So I've already mentioned this author, right, because he wrote Stir of Echoes. But here's something fun. I've never read Stir of Echoes. I've seen the movie a few times. But the Richard Matheson ghost novel I have read is Hell House. And this novel scared the living bejesus out of me. I read this as a pretty young kid. And I was all about it. And then I watched the movie, The Legend of Hell House, and I was not all about that. But I love the novel. I should probably give the movie a rewatch, too. But, man, Hell House is the shit. It is sort of the classic tale of the, you know, spiritualists and psychic investigators and occult investigators and stuff, investigating a famously haunted house. But this one, you sort of just gets into your head and it's like, it's super intense. It's definitely got that classic feel, but it goes a little bit farther and that's what makes it beautiful. Man, Richard Matheson was a peach. Anyway, that's it, right? No, movies, number 1. I got a couple movies to talk about. Sure, we could throw Stir of Echoes in there. It's just not that extreme, but you could say like 1408. That's a movie that's fucking intense pretty much throughout. And it keeps you guessing. I really like that one. How about We Are Still Here? That one takes a hell of a long time to get going. But once it does, it's pretty intense. Even still, I wouldn't say it's anywhere near as intense as The Abandoned. And I'm trying to think of another movie that is in that subgenre. So if you can, you can let me know. Email me, dreadmediapodcast@gmail.com. That's an early drop for the email. But there you go. Special just for you guys. Yeah, that's us. That was the top 5. Done and dusted. Man, I mowed the lawn today for the first time. Some of that grass was like close to a foot long. And, there was like a hole like in the middle of my backyard. Man, the people we bought this house from, they had they had the gardeners out here for days before they put it up for sale because, man, like there was this ivy garden that just looked, you know, kind of nice, just like this ivy garden. It was just ivy. It was fantastic. And there was like a little bit of like, you could see like a stripling of a maple tree, right? And then there's like another big tree that's actually like dying. I should probably get it taken down. But anyway. Yeah. So, I mean, even using a motorized lawnmower, you know what I mean? A gas powered lawnmower. I have an electric one, but if there was no way. There was no way I was going to be able to mow that with the electric one. And I was barely able to mow it with the gas-powered one. I literally had to keep starting it every, like, 45 seconds to a minute. Man, it was brutal. It was so brutal. I was more exhausted mowing the lawn for an hour and 20 minutes than I am after splitting, chopping, and stacking wood for 3 hours, man. I am wiped. Just wiped. Anyway, so that means I'm just going to get this done with. Right? All right, let's get out of here. I'm not sure if I've played these guys before. And this is not like screaming new. This is what? When did this come out? Oh, yeah, it's 2016. But I'm not sure if I've ever played these guys before. This is Sumerlands. It's Sumerlands with one M. Sumerlands, is a heavy metal band. This is their debut. This is their eponymous record. So the record is called also Sumerlands. And, they got this great tune on it called Haunted Forever. So let's listen to that and we'll come back and say goodbye. And that is us, my friends. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode as much as I did putting it together for you. Unfortunate news came out today. So I had to pull an audible with the last song here that I had previously programmed. Otherwise, you might not know who he is, but if he didn't produce your favorite band, he produced your favorite band's favorite band kind of guy. I'm talking about the great Steve Albini. He famously produced In Utero and also famously told them that if it takes longer than a week to record your album, someone's fucking up. Legend. Absolute legend. But, backstory on me and my sort of relationship with Steve Albini for the past several years, not personally, of course, but of course, I knew the Breeders and, the Pixies and Cheap Trick and of course, I know those records and, Steve Albini and of course Nirvana. But, here it is. It's 1996 and, sludge metal / hardcore band Neurosis Drop. I don't even know what you call it, but it's pretty widely considered, the sort of the starting gun for the post metal subgenre through Silver in Blood. When I listened to this record, it blew my fucking mind. It blew my mind so hard. I got a fake ID specifically so I could get into the town pump in Vancouver and watch Bloodlet open for Neurosis also in 1996. And blew me away. Blew me away. And I believe I saw them later in 1996, or was it 97? I think they were still on Through Silver and Blood, but I think they played the Croatian Cultural Center as well, which it was always a good time back then. Anyway, so that sort of opened the door to something called post-metal, and that really began sort of an evolving sound for Neurosis. And on their next record, they enlisted the help of Steve Albini to produce Times of Grace. Now, this wasn't a one-off thing. Steve Albini would go on to produce every full-length record in their repertoire going forward, and I think an EP as well. They had an ongoing relationship with Steve Albini. So, and a lot of people say that Steve Albini, what is it? It probably says it here. Yeah. It does. That Steve Albini, made Neurosis sound like Neurosis. And I know that, Scott Kelly is a piece of shit, and that's really unfortunate. And, I actually fucking mourned that. But I am never going to deny the huge role that Neurosis played in my life. It really, they were really, showed me that, you didn't have to write songs like everybody else writes songs, if that makes sense. I think Chuck Schuldiner from Death did that as well. Anyway, so I'm going to play a song off of Times of Grace, because that was the first record that Steve Albini did with them. I'm so sad that he's gone simply just because of his wisdom. He's always been artist first, refusing to take residuals. He didn't want to take a cut of In Utero. Could you imagine? It would be a huge cut. Huge chunk of cash, small cut, huge chunk of cash. Anyway, he was all about trying to make the artist sound like the artist, and he achieved that with Neurosis and, the Pixies and the Breeders. And yeah, he's just really good at that shit. So RIP Steve Albini. This is the title track from Times of Grace by Neurosis. You guys take care of yourselves, take care of others, and we'll see you next week.